joining me, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a Thursday morning where we are still trying to understand, make sense, and absorb a murder that happened yesterday, broad daylight, at a university in Utah. A political commentator, many will say political activist, a Christian, a podcaster, an author, a father, a husband, Charlie Kirk. Now, I'm not a person that had followed Charlie Kirk very carefully. In fact, I can't say that I ever watched or listened to his podcast, for example. I mean, I've definitely seen clips of him in public debate. That was kind of his thing. He liked to, in a public forum, like the setting was yesterday, have open, good, critical thinking dialogue. He had some theories, some beliefs that many people, even those on the Republican side, who he was very much supportive of, disagreed with. But nonetheless, he was a person that saw it, and you can see lots of interviews online from the years gone by of Charlie Kirk talking about, this is, as much as it is political discussion, it is also entertainment. And he knew that, and often talked about, that's got a lot to do with the style that we saw him exude when he would do these types of talks, these types of public debates. A couple of texts that I want to just bring to attention. So I asked the question this morning, what preventative steps, if any, can we take, can society take to reduce political violence? Nick points out, let's not generalize the question of stopping political violence as if we're the same as the Americans, because we are not. Fair point. Maybe too general of a question. What preventative steps can they take in the United States? Although there, I will say that there are a lot of people online saying, sadly, I don't know that we can say in Canada we're free of this. We're not, thankfully, seeing this many public tragic murders happening. However, the discourse in our country is not free of harsh words, defamatory words, threatening behaviors. So I'm just summarizing a number of the texts that are coming in on the text line. But Nick, I appreciate you pointing that out. Also a text here I wanted to get to from Bob. So Bob in Regina basically saying the shooting of Charlie Clark should not be categorized yet as politically motivated. Assumptions before evidence are dangerous, and Bob pointing out, I should know that of all people. That's a fair comment. There are many people calling this a political assassination. I have referred to it this morning as likely having some sort of political motivation behind it, but we don't know. We don't know until the actual shooter, the suspect, is arrested, and at that time, they'll continue to do an investigation to help understand where this came from. Is it politically motivated? Is it someone who suffers from mental health? Is it a specific issue or a problem that this individual had with Charlie Kirk based on something he said a while ago? Could it not even be political? Keep in mind, he had very strong feelings on things like DEI and abortion. There was a number of things that incited anger and hatred towards him. He had his own security detail. In fact, that's one of the things that, as they do the reflection on this and a bit of a debrief on how this happened, I'm sure they will look at what the security situation was, because I've seen suggestions online that Mr. Kirk's security detail outnumbered the number of police that were on scene and the number of campus security that were there as well. It was a fairly small number given, number one, the size of the crowd, and number two, the volatility of the topics that were being discussed. So I want to bring into this conversation another friend of this show, Warren Kinsella, political commentator. We've had Warren on the program many times. I think all political commentators, knowing that's what Charlie Kirk was, is a political commentator. I think all political commentators are taking this seriously and are watching this and have thoughts on this. And Warren Kinsella will be no different. Warren, thank you for taking our call.
Well, thanks for having me.
Lots of words, horror, disgust. Your thoughts on what we saw play out in Utah yesterday?
Well, at one level, you know, I feel it personally. While I disagreed with Mr. Kirk on many things, you know, from blacks to gays to you name it, he is kind of in the same business that you and I are in, which is putting ourselves out there and expressing an opinion. And he was killed for it. He was murdered for an idea. And for just expressing an idea peacefully. And if you look on the internet, and it'll turn your stomach if you do, you'll see all across the internet, including in supposedly peaceful places like Blue Sky, people celebrating his death and calling for other people like Ben Shapiro or J.K. Rowling to also be assassinated. So we're in an era, my friend, where it has become legitimized to express support for extreme violence because of ideas against, you know, somebody just expressing in their opinion, and not somebody with power in a political sense, not a politician, just a citizen expressing a point of view, gets murdered.
Mm-hmm. We're chatting with Warren Kinsella today. I can't help but think, I mean, we don't know officially. They haven't caught the suspect yet. We don't know officially what the motivation is behind this. But, I mean, this is a political assassination. There's no question about that. Is there a link between toxic political language and demonizing opponents, which I think we've seen happen? It's happening worldwide, but certainly south of the border predominantly, and violent acts like we saw yesterday?
Absolutely, there's a link, and you don't even have to look south of the border. You just have to look in your history books, you know, in Germany, in Berlin, in 1933, when the Nazis started to characterize Jews as vermin and rats and parasites. So basically, you know, expressing the view that they weren't human. We're seeing more and more of that these days because it's been turbocharged by the internet. You know, you've got people out there now saying things anonymously that they would never say in public with their own name, with their own face, and dehumanizing other humans. And the consequence of that is not just a destabilized society. It's not just a democracy that's in peril. It's literally violence. Mm-hmm. And that's what we saw yesterday. And today is the anniversary of another day, you know, when 3,000 Americans and Canadians and others were killed at the Twin Towers, basically because some lunatics in the Middle East objected to the ideas of the people who were found in those buildings. So like this isn't something new. It's something that's been happening for a long time, but now these days it's getting a lot worse.
Does something like this, and maybe this is a tough question, but does something like this, Warren, further drive a wedge and divide, or does it bring people together?
In the first few minutes I heard Democrats, and as you know, full disclosure, I've worked for Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I was happy and pleased to see Democrats deploring the death of this young man because he was just 31 years old with a young family. Then anonymously, as I say, online, you start to see people, so-called progressives, celebrating his assassination. Mm. And we've seen the same thing on the far right as well. You know, when somebody is murdered or hurt who has a point of view that they disagree with. Like, if you disagree with somebody, if you disagree with me, with what I'm saying right now, like, pick up a pen and write me a letter or go online and say why you disagree. But to say someone deserves to die for an idea, that's not the beginning of something. That's the end of everything. That's the end of everything that we stand for as a society and a democracy.
Political commentator Warren Kinsella is my guest. We only just a couple of things I wanted to touch base with, but what I'm asking listeners this morning is what can be done? What whether it's preventative steps or just steps need to be taken to reduce political violence? It's a big question, but have you got thoughts on that, Warren?
Absolutely, I do. And it's an excellent question. Number one, anonymity on the internet needs to stop. If you've got a point of view, put your name behind it. I do that. You do that. Everybody should do that. That will have an immediate effect in eliminating a lot of corrosive commentary. Number two, the multi-billionaires who profit off of the internet, the Zuckerbergs and the Musks, need to start enforcing their end user agreements and saying, if you engage in an abusive or defamatory or violent language, you will be kicked off of their platforms. And number three, governments, you know, that allow these people to profit and to operate within their borders need to say, hey, look, boys and girls, like, if you're going to do this, we're going to hold you to a minimum standard. And the minimum standard is you have an obligation to provide a platform for people telling the truth and promoting civilization and not just people advocating murder. So those are three things that can be done right now, this morning, today. But unfortunately, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Warren, I want to change gears just for a second while I've got you. I know you are a strong supporter of Jewish people. B'nai B'rith Canada has called for a national task force on anti-Semitism. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's important that B'nai B'rith is doing that, and their timing is important because in the next few days, Canada, along with Britain and then the UK, with the UK and France and Australia, are getting ready to recognize Palestine, which is a so-called state run by a designated terrorist entity. So we are rewarding Hamas. We are rewarding these people who have killed Canadians and Americans and Israelis and innocent citizens around the world for years. We're going to reward them next week. And that's why it's important for B'nai B'rith to say, hey, look, you know, the anti-Semitism that's growing everywhere, it's a problem. And it is facilitated in large measure the kind of appalling decision that the prime minister made a few days ago, which is to say that he was going to recognize the state run by Hamas. Mm-hmm. It's a big, big mistake. It rewards Hamas for what they've done. And, you know, hopefully B'nai B'rith is successful in changing the views of the Canadian government.
Busy time today, Warren. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, my friend.
Political commentator Warren Kinsella, always appreciate checking in with him. So we continue to follow along and, of course, keep an eye on anything that comes out south of the border in terms of progress that they might have made in locating the suspect, the murderer, the person who pulled the trigger in this case. I still am getting lots of texts coming into the show here. I want to get to some more of your texts and your thoughts as we wrap up this conversation, but trust me, it's not going away. I'm sure we will be bringing this back from time to time, but we'll finish up this conversation and then get ready for Mayor Cynthia Block and Mayor Chad Baczynski, who join me just after 10 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.